What's going on, everybody? And welcome back to the Cabinet of Dr. Howdy's podcast. It's been a while.
We're
coming back with a fun-filled fucking episode, baby. I'm excited. And this new Zoom camera thing going on, it's got me tripping because it's like doing like, you know, zoom ins and zoom outs in my face. It's kind of creeping me the fuck out, Jeff.
No drugs necessary.
But it's been a hell of a summer. We have some really cool shit to talk about. And, you know, with the summer, man, what you been up to, motherfucker? You been cranking it still, or?
Dude, cranking it up to about six times a day now, man.
Good. Yeah. I told you I had to get those numbers up last time.
Yeah,
so.
You did, yeah. I'm aiming for 12 by Christmas, so. Yeah, you know, it's been a long time since we've last recorded. We had a lot of plans and a lot of shit offset just because, you know, we got lives and stuff. But we always kept the creative juices flowing and the ideas going. So, you know, that's how we work. That's how we roll. So we have a lot of good stuff planned. But really what I've been up to, I don't know, man. You know, this fucking year's been a blur.
It's been
a goddamn blur. I will say that, you know, there have been a lot of really good releases with movie wise and stuff. And, you know, we did Fulci-less Film Week, did a little later this year. I've been collecting a lot of movie memorabilia over the past couple years. I really kind of amped it up. I slowed down on movies. I'm still collecting movies, obviously, but man, I spent last night organizing posters and movie memorabilia. Basically told my wife, you know, basically I'm organizing it for her when I die. She just, you know, that's going to pay for the kids' college. So there we go. Pay off the house.
She got a price gouge on eBay. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to tally it all up for her before she drives me off a cliff or something.
Put like friendship prices and then right up below it, put eBay gouge price.
What have you been up to, man?
A whole lot of nothing really. Now I'm still collecting the movies, but I narrow it down to movies that I really want. So I think like the last two movies I bought were Blade in the Dark.
Sure.
Before it sells out, because everyone are a bunch of jerk offs and don't have patience for sales.
True.
And August Underground, even though I already own multiple fucking copies of it, I have to get the newest one. So,
and a poster now too.
And a poster, yeah. I was going to get into that. It's I got two really cool posters at Motor City Nightmares.
You did.
And one of my most recent pickups, I showed you the picture before I left on vacation, has to do with one of the posters. So,
there you go, man.
It was a good one.
It's funny that you mention, you know, picking up kind of what you want. You know, because we've talked about that before. That's kind of been my philosophy. You know, with collecting, I remember being one of those collectors when I first started that I just got to buy everything, and you just get burnt out. It's not fun doing that. And
I remember the first time I felt that feeling of being burned out, and it was from I'm not bullying any companies here, but Vinegar Syndrome. It was one of their first sales ever, and it was my first. I was just getting back into collecting, you know, so I bought so many movies, dude, like shit I never heard of. I'm like blind buy, and I get these movies in the mail and I start going through them like, I wasted a lot of fucking money on this.
Yes, you did. Well, you know, and that's kind of what I'm seeing a lot. I'm seeing it a lot on like the, you know, Facebook and stuff and some of the collector groups. Seeing a lot of people and blind buys are okay. Like I'll do a blind buy of a movie, but I research the movie. You know what I mean? I feel like I feel like that's a lost art with a lot of younger people now, is like, they go by the hype of what everyone else is saying instead of just looking the fucking movie up, or maybe even just watching it on YouTube or Tubi for free, and then getting a gauge of, do I want to put this in my personal collection, right? So I feel like that's kind of the state of collecting right now, because in these Facebook groups that I'm seeing a lot of hilarious posts of people crying and complaining about how they can't keep up with all the releases. Okay, you're a grown-ass adult. Why do you feel the need to buy everything, you know? So
yeah, narrow it down, maybe.
Narrow it down and research the movies. And I feel like that's kind of like, you know, we were talking about that a minute ago before we started the episode. But, you know, collecting, you know, some people will say that we're in the golden age of collecting. And, you know, that might be true. There might be there are a lot of movies that are coming out that, you know, never had a release before. Certainly. Right. But I also feel like we're in the golden age of pure capitalism right now, where just these companies have recognized, like, hey, let's just release 15 titles a month, and 15 partner labels will release also 10 titles a month. And, you know, it's just kind of overkill. It kind of saps the fun out of it all, I think. And, you know, I know I'm going to sound really old and really like a curmudgeon, but it's kind of like, I just wish, you know, it was kind of like the old days again, where you just had a few companies and they were releasing some good stuff, you know,
here and there, really good stuff. You know, what's funny, two things here. One, about researching a movie before you buy it. Isn't it kind of ass backwards now? Like, back in the day, you would see a cover of a movie and you would blind buy it just because you couldn't really research a movie. There's no way to really do it. So you just would get the fucking movie. Nowadays, people have a fucking smartphone in the palm of their hand. They can research these films, and they don't. They just buy them right off the bat.
Absolutely.
Crazy.
Absolutely.
And then along with the whole oversaturation, new releases every month, like 15 releases here, 20 releases here, it's like Christmas every day. After a while, it doesn't mean shit. You know what I mean?
Well, so, and I think that's a good way of putting it. Is it kind of like, you know, it kind of takes the fun out of it and the enjoyment out of it when you just have these, I don't know, like you said, it's not Christmas, you know. Like, usually I remember when these sales happened and there would be a big announcement. You're like, holy fuck, they're releasing Beyond the Darkness is getting a fucking Blu-ray release from Severin, you know, oh my god, you know, and you were pumped about it. And now, you know, some of these companies, it's like, here's a 4K of a movie we released 2 years ago, or, and it's like, god damn, stop it. And then on top of it, they have all this memorabilia that goes with it, right? And don't get me wrong, capitalism has always been involved with horror movies, right? Like, I mean, look at the 1980s. You had producers and directors that were like, I want to make a movie because it's going to make a shit ton of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not dumb. I recognize that a lot of these people don't really care. They just want to make money. It's always been there. But you also didn't have the level of just kind of consumerism. You know what I mean? Like, to like a horror movie back in the day, right? Like The Burning or something, or Friday the 13th, like, and to be like obsessed with it, you were like a troll, you know. Now it's like, you know, my 15 year old neighbor who, you know, jams out to SoundCloud rappers and, you know, is all over TikTok and this and that. Now Friday the 13th's like old hat. Hey, whatever, I like it, it's a cool movie, but it's just not, I don't know, it just, we sound like a bunch of old fuckers right now. But I think going to Motor City Nightmares, I kind of saw that really, you know, at a new level, and I was like, holy shit, like, where have we, how kind of far we've strayed, I feel like.
Dude, I went into Motor City Nightmares like ready to spend money, bro. I was like, I'm on vacation, this, you know, I'm thinking I'm gonna be spending like massive amount of money on cool shit,
right?
I didn't spend that much. I mean, the one thing I bought was a lot of money, but that was basically the bulk of my purchases.
Sure. Yeah and that's the way it was, because, you know. And we'll talk about that later when we talk about Motor City Nightmares. But yeah, it's just, there's an oversaturation of everything. You know, it's like every day on Instagram, I'm seeing new t-shirt companies come along. Like, how many fucking Michael Myers shirts can you fucking make?
Insanity,
I'm sick of seeing
dude.
It, dude. You know, and that's the part, too, that annoys me, is that's the bulk of it, is that's the oversaturation. You know, we're not seeing, make a fucking another Peter Bark shirt. I'll buy that shit in a heartbeat. Make a piece of artwork of, like you were saying, of Freddy Krueger butt fucking Michael Myers, who's butt fucking Jason, who's getting sucked off by Jaws. Dude, I'll buy that in a heartbeat.
Dude, I would fucking, if I had a kid, I would sell my kid for that fucking picture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what I don't need is, I don't need another fucking Michael Myers shirt. Okay. I don't need
outer space condom. You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, there we go.
Or maybe we do. Maybe we do. Like a cotton candy cocoon where you could jerk off into it, like a fleshlight. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, there you go. I like that idea.
If anyone does that, you fucks, I got to get some goddamn compensation.
Dude, we have, I'm going to timestamp this right now. So we have that copyright. We're going to play the whole audio to the judge, too, and the jury.
Podcast episode. sir, you made your point. Let it go.
No, you have another 30 minutes to listen to. But yeah, you know, we sound like old curmudgeons saying that, but it's just, you know, it's still fun. I love it and everything. And, you know, it's fun talking with the people that are into it, too. You know, there are a lot of good people on there that, you know, it's fun to shoot the shit with about this stuff. So, but yeah. So
shout out to, though, we're talking about movie releases, though. I do have to give a shout out to Severin for their last sale, because that was fucking amazing. That them releases were fucking spot on amazing, dude.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Severin's, I feel like Severin's always killing it with their releases.
Yep.
You know, I'm not a completist with any company, to be honest, but I would say that the biggest bulk of movies that I have, if I look at my shelf right now, is probably Severin. Because they release what I'm really into, you know what I mean? Which is, you know, that European, Italian horror, kind of just pure exploitation. Sleaze, yeah.
Stuff you like can that. Rub one out to and also enjoy at the same time, you know?
Yeah. I don't need like a fucking, you know, Czech art house film. Like, just give me fucking Joe D'Amato, you know what I mean?
I was going to say, Lars von Trier, who? I need fucking D'Amato's Caligula to rub one out.
Good Lord. But yeah, podcasts. I mean, it's good to be kind of doing episodes again. We got a lot of good plans. One thing that we talked about is kind of getting some guests. One guest that we wanted to get last year was Giovanni Mario.
It's Giovanni Lomberto Ava Radish.
Giovanni Radice. We wanted to get him on, but then he fucking died. What the fuck, dude? You really gotta fucking die?
Bro, that dude was I could tell party animals from a mile away, and that motherfucker partied to the last goddamn day.
Oh,
bro.
He did.
Dude.
He probably saw your email of wanting it on there, and he probably was so excited he partied himself to death.
Just started popping ecstasy pills every fucking day.
It's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
But yeah, you know, he just had to die, and we couldn't get him on there. But it would have been awesome. I love that. I loved him in so many of those fucking Italian movies.
Yeah,
so,
that was my the one interview I was really, really, really excited. Not saying that all the interviews we've done have been fabulous, but fucking fabulous. You hear me? What kind of word am I saying? Jesus Christ. What's going on here? Fucking holy hell. I'm taking a little bit of Giovanni's ballet stuff going on and bringing the terms in. But that was one that I was super fucking stoked for. And, you know, and once you start working with agencies, that's where everything starts getting polluted. Because we had to work with an agent from him, and that agent can suck my nuts left and right. And
he probably would.
Yeah. Absolutely. He would say it was fabulous. But, you know, it didn't happen. And then I was in hopes of it happening again, like trying to get him personally, like from Facebook or something.
Yeah.
And then, you know what happened? Boom.
Yeah. Fucking, you know? Fucking hell, man. But we do have some other guests that we're going to plan on getting. You know, Phantom Analogs is just like our hub for the Cabinet Dr. Howdy podcast. Any edits we do, any giveaways, stuff like that. It's just kind of our hub. But we'll have some, we want to actually take some of the older episodes. The Carl York one will probably be the first one that I do, because that was a really good interview, what we did with him.
Love that
really,
one.
Yeah, really fun guy to talk to. And then we'll probably do the Brian Yuzna one. But we'll actually put those up on YouTube, so you have another listening option on there as well. You know, we always do our IG lives. Those are always a lot of fun. Just future episodes. We already have about 6 or 7 episodes planned. We have some guests that we're going to be bringing on. One person from the cold regions in the north, drinking his Moosehead beer. And then one thing I want to mention, too, is our Discord. We have a Discord channel, Phantom Analogs, and I will post that to our link tree in our Instagram.
Yeah, that was a shit ton of fun last time. Yeah.
I'm really into low impact streaming. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times people just want to jump on their phone and just watch something. They may not stay the whole time. So I stream a video from my desktop computer. Last time was for Fulci Lives Film Week. We did House of Clocks.
You kind of honey dicked me with that, because I was at work and you're like, yo, you're going to jump into the stream? And I was like, what are we watching? House of Cocks. And I was like, dude, I got ready. I'm talking.
Yeah, you were like, I haven't seen that since I was 9.
Oh, I was driving by people stopping and saying, hey, I'm going to go watch House of Cocks at home. Can you slap me with yours? And it would crack me in the cheek with it. I drive on. And then I got home. And the next thing you know, there's no cocks in the movie at all. What the fuck?
Yeah, you got to go down to the church for that one.
Yeah, I know. Well, Jesus Christ.
You didn't even want to go there.
I'm not taking a bait for that one, you motherfucker.
But yeah, so our Discord is pretty good. Our next stream that we're going to do is going to be before the end of the month. We're going to do Wild Beasts, which is
man.
You've never seen Wild Beasts, watch it for free on our Discord. We got a lot of good stuff on there. So definitely jump on it. And then we just have kind of that stream chat going the whole time. And then we have a soundboard that I hooked up, and that soundboard is fucking awesome. I got
fuck
a good
you,
Lexington
asshole.
Steel one.
Oh yeah.
But speaking of Fulci Lives, let's talk about Fulci Lives Film Week 3.
Fuck yeah, man. That was fucking insane.
That was
That's
insane.
The only word I can put it, because I remember it's Sunday when it dropped, right? Yep. It's the first day. Sitting there, I think I was texting you. I'm like, ah, oh, man. I was like, I don't know how big it's going to be this year, but I guess we're going to have to see. And within seconds, it was like fucking D-Day, bro. We were just in trenches taking grenades left and right. Dude.
Yeah, dude. It's so awesome to see, though. And mm-hmm. Man at Core, Sam, actually said something. He was like, you know, this is so awesome. You guys have kept this going for 3 years now. And
yeah,
I was like,
man.
Damn, yeah. And, you know, the big part is like, you know, we organize it really well. I think we have good organization with it and good kind of exposure with it. But it's really the people on Instagram that keep it going. I mean, that's the thing. And I know it sounds really fucking corny to say, but it's true. I mean, though, like, people just their posts and they, you know, people were sharing each other's posts. Like, it's such an
That was my coolest thing about it. I was about to say that is like, I think what makes this film week mm-hmm. a little bit different from others that are on Instagram and social media is the fact that even though you're not on the thing as hosting, right? The host or us, right?
Yeah.
People still jumped in, reposted, fucking, you know, some people would jump into my DMs, be like, hey, did you get all these pictures too? Like helping me out with it.
Yeah.
And there's so many people to name. There was like at least like 15 to 20 of you guys helping us out. Which was amazing, dude. And it shows, like, I hate saying horror community. You know, I hate that little. But at the same time, that's really the real deal horror community is everyone's helping each other. And there's one main mission. And the mission is to flood the algorithm with Lucio Fulci films, you know?
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, and that's the way I feel like it is, too. I always hate that term horror community, too, because I feel like the people that say horror community basically view themselves as the leaders of the horror community, right? Like, they're the cult leaders. That's what the community is all about, is like you're helping each other out. There's no fucking ego to it. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, there's some badass posts every year. I always laugh at the Germans, though. The Germans have the most insane fucking collection. Terrorvision 84.
Terrorvision, dude. Yeah, Terrorvision was posted like 2 times a day.
God
and
damn,
there were
dude.
Different movies, too. And it's just a huge collection of each.
He's like, here's my City of the Living Dead collection. It's like 25 different versions of the movie. There's a statue. There's a bust. There's a blow-up doll. There's a dildo of fucking, you know, Bob in there and shit.
He has Giovanni's ear. He cut it off during his funeral.
He went to the grave and cut it off.
I got Giovanni's ear right here, too.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, their collections are just absolutely sick. The Gorefather's another one. He has, like, an insane collection. But I think it also speaks volumes about, like, the German releases of everything. Like, they go fucking nuts, you know, for the not just Germans, but, like, the companies go fucking nuts for these releases, man. They go balls to the wall. So it's awesome to see. I love it. Giveaway winners. We had Craig O'Ape. He won the Kadabra record of the Zombie Composer Cut by Fabio Frizzi. Who else fucking won? Throwing Knives, Jen.
Throwing Knives, yep, Jen.
She won the pin from fucking Rare Media. I love Rare Media stuff. He takes forever to send the stuff out, but his pins are the best.
Was he the one that did the Manhattan Baby one last year?
Yeah, I've every
awesome.
Year so far I've bought something for the giveaway from him. And that's what I like doing. I like supporting these companies. But yeah, like the pin, his pins are so cool because they come with all this extra shit, you know? And then you had Spooky Wolf, and he did some art pieces for it. He won the puzzle, which was Messed Up Puzzles, did one of Lucio Fulci from Cat in the Brain.
That thing's a fucking cannon, dude, too. It's huge.
I know. I was expecting to be super small, and I was like praying to God during the giveaway that an American would win it so I'd have to pay international shipping.
You thought it was like an American Blu-ray release, and what you really got was a German Blu-ray release in the mail. That's how big it was.
Yeah, dude, it's insane. Thankfully, Spooky Wolf is only a state up for me. He's in North Carolina, so.
Oh, there we go.
It won't be too bad. Last but not least, Master Blasters Collectibles, who's a good guy, actually. I've gotten to know him, well, not know him, like, you know, we're not, like, butt buddies or anything like me and you, Will.
Would you take a bath with him?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I already did. Yeah. I already did.
Then that's not good.
But yeah, I've gotten to know him a little bit too. And that's been great. When he was helping out with Fulci Lives Filmweek, he won the tapestry from Paul Bearer Press, the House by the Cemetery one. So it was really cool to see that. And also, speaking of Paul Bearer Press, fucking awesome of them to do that.
The coolest fucking thing. So I know they've helped us out in the past with past years when they would just repost something or whatever. I contacted them a little bit before July.
Yeah.
And originally, the original plan, I'm not going to totally give away what they're originally going to do because they're still probably going to do it. I just don't know when. I don't want to give away the surprise. But it's one of the most favorited characters in a Fulci film. And it's a game where you would, you know, throw stuff at that person. So
that's awesome.
When they told me about that, I was like, dude, I hope that comes out. But you know, shit happens. They had a lot of conventions this year they had to go to and a lot of releases. So they didn't get to release that. But then they told me, they're like, hey, listen, they thought they missed it. They're like, oh, we missed Fulci Lives Film Week. So, you know, this is a shirt. They posted like a zombie shirt, which was rad as shit. The one that you got sent to.
Oh, yeah, Hugo. Yeah, Hugo sent to me, yeah.
And then I reached back out. I said, hey, it's actually happening in 2 weeks. And then they're like, hey, we're going to do a coupon code. I was like, holy fuck. Like, that's fucking awesome. Thank you so much. And I saw a lot of people use that code, too.
Yeah, a lot of people were using it, which was great to see. A lot of these companies are making really cool shit that it goes on. You know, Paul Bearer Press gets pretty good recognition. But, you know, like Rare Media, they only made 100 of those pins, and it's taken them forever to sell out. And they're such fucking cool pins. And it's like, I want to try to give them some exposure because it's like they're fucking, I want them to make more. That's the thing.
Yeah, dude.
It's one guy.
It's definitely hard for those guys just because like you have too many, just like how there's the Walmarts of the distribution companies. Yes. There's also the Walmarts of the clothing companies and the memorabilia companies too. Yeah. You know what I mean? And some are better than others, and I'm not hating on any of them. We all know who I'm talking about probably when it comes to t-shirts. But, you know, for me as a horror fan, I don't need a shirt with fucking Jason Voorhees or fucking Killer Clowns. You know, I need a shirt with Peter Bark, like you said, or, you know, Father Thomas hanging himself.
Exactly.
You know, cool shit.
Yeah.
You know, Elsa. They had an Elsa shirt at one point. I wish they would make a reprint. I'm just saying.
Just saying, yeah. You're not, no affiliation to any organization or anything, but, you know, you want an Elsa shirt.
I really want a Shockwave shirt, too.
Oh, dude. They made a Shockwave shirt.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. I don't know if they have it up on their site anymore, but yeah, they made it last year, I think. It was sweet. I was like almost pulled the trigger on it, but that was when I was a little fatter, and Paul Bearer Press shirts are a little questionable with me, you know, because sometimes like I'm a medium and sometimes I'm a large. Like I have that Zombie 2 shirt. It's the Japanese art, you know, and it's got like the logo on it and stuff, and I bought a large because I was like, you know what? Paul Bearer Press shirts, they sometimes get a little snug on me. And it's like a nightgown. It fits fine, but it goes down really far. But then that zombie shirt that Hugo sent, that fits me like a fucking dream, dude. I don't know if it's because I lost a little bit of weight, been working out, you know, but I feel like that just, it fits me a lot better now. It's the lengthwise because I'm a shorter dude, you know? So sometimes shirts, I'm either swimming in them or they're up to my nipples, you know?
The thing about swimming is you could wear no underpants and you could just walk around it like a muumuu, you know? Well,
yeah, I mean, I do that in my zombie shirt. I just walk around with no pants or no underwear.
It doesn't matter. Your dick's just hanging out regardless. Yeah. It's a crop top at that point. But all my Paul Bearer Press shirts are oversized because I lost a shit ton of weight.
Right.
And I'm cheap. I'm not going to rebuy them. So I'm just
wearing these
baggy ass, like this fucking shirt I have on me right now is like a fucking muumuu when I'm walking around, dude. And I don't have underpants on, so I'm not getting off the show.
Hey, man,
or maybe
as long as you got your socks on, you're all right, you know?
All right, well, it's on something. My socks on something, not on my feet, though. Just
a
letting you know.
Little Red Hot Chili Peppers right there.
A little flea, baby.
But, yeah, so one thing we did is we actually met for the first time in person.
Yes.
We met a lot of people at Motor City Nightmares. So I was going to be up in Michigan at that time anyways. I remember talking to Jake, Bloody Effing Collector. He was going. He's a Michigan native as well. And I was like, you know, I'm going to hit it up. Me and my wife went in 2017, right before George Romero died. That's where I met Romero. And it was like 3 months before he died. So that was the last time I went. And I was like, you know what? While I'm up in Michigan, I'm just going to go. If I just go for a day, then cool, you know? But then it kind of became bigger. I started talking to you and I'm like, hey, man, you got to fly in. We'll just fucking go party, right? And then you confirmed that you were doing it. And then we got Rich, Night of the Living Dad. fucking hilarious. Yeah. Love Rich.
My personal favorite of the weekend.
He's a madman. He jumped on board because he's from Michigan too. He lived in the same city that I did when I was up there. We met up with him, and then fucking Mernsey Movie Mansion. Paul came down from the great wide north in Toronto, somewhere around there.
His wife drove a moose, right? Rode a moose all the
way. Yeah, he rode a moose in. I think he wore like the Mountie outfit too, like the red with the hat and stuff.
Just no pants though.
No pants. Paul Bear press sock on his cock. But he came in, which was fucking awesome to meet him for the first time. Jen throwing knives flew in from fucking California. And that was awesome meeting her. That was awesome meeting her too. Silver Screen Sucka, who's also a Michigan native.
He dropped by just the party on Saturday night.
He came in at nighttime. AJ Zetro, him and his wife came in from Chicago. So we had a lot of fucking people come in from the Instagram community here, which was fucking awesome, dude.
And we met a bunch of, well, not a bunch, but a good amount of people too that are from the Instagram community too. And we were walking around. There's a couple people that said hi, which was cool.
Yeah, so, yeah, absolutely. It was a good time, man. That was like probably one of the most fun times I've had in probably a few years, you know, just kind of partying and just being stupid again.
Dude,
and
I gotta be honest. It was a whirlpool, dude. I don't even remember half the shit. I was so fucking high all 3 days.
At Michigan, weed will get you, dude.
Dude, I don't think there was a minute that went by where I was sober. Like, but you saw me. I wake up. We did the 5K as soon as I got back. Pop a gummy.
I will say that if you've never heard Mernsey Movie Mansion do his Michael Caine impression, you got to hear it. And nothing beats hearing his Michael Caine impression when you hear it at, you know, 2 a.m. and you have a weird neighbor who's from Great Britain who's trying to sleep with his sister, apparently. Yelling at Paul in the hallway, which, you know, yelling at a Canadian is like yelling at a first grader. I feel like they're so nice. Like, hey, buddy. And he's like, and the guy was from England, too. That was the fun. That was the most surreal thing. We had a British guy yelling at a Canadian guy. It was the most polite argument I've ever heard.
Dude, all I heard the door open, right? And it's Mernsey standing in front of the door. And he's like, yeah, buddy. Yeah, pal. I got you, buddy. All right. Randy Marsh, buddy. And then he walks in. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude?
What the fuck, dude? Jesus Christ. And then, you know, we had Bloody Effing Collector fucking ate a whole... Well, no, he took a whole pizza, didn't eat it, but then he clogged the fucking toilet. And Bloody Effing Collector, you guys, if you ever go to a hotel with him, you gotta remember that this guy is fucking royalty. He will make the workers bring him water.
2 a.m.
At 2 a.m.
I have my free complimentary water bottles. And I love the last night. The fucking Dessus basically told him, fuck you. You come get him.
Yeah, dude. They got sick of him. I remember telling him about that later on. They were literally like, he called him up and he was like, can I get my free complimentary water? It was like his 25th complimentary water. And the desk was like, you need to come get it.
And dude. He tried ignoring it for the longest time until he finally told us. Like, he admitted defeat finally.
Oh my god, it was such a funny time. So many funny stories.
Also, I'm gonna air this out. I don't care. Sorry, Jake, but you clogged the toilet. It was you. I'm gonna tell you why it was you. I was up in the room. I was talking to my wife on the phone, checking in, telling her, "Hey, how's it going? I'm high as shit." And I saw you walk out of the bathroom. It was you, motherfucker. And then I went back down, and we all went back up to eat. And the toilet was fucking filled with logs and toilet paper. You fuck.
So I think this is a worthy story here too. He actually, Jake, motherfucker, Jake, you called room service to come unclog the toilet for you. And this poor guy comes up with a plunger and he just looks so disgruntled, which I would be too.
Oh, dude.
So he comes up and Jake's just laying in the bed. I forgot what movie we were watching. And then afterwards, the guy unclogs the toilet. We just hear him struggling, like, you know, the suction of the plunger going back and forth and the water splashing around. And then the guy walks out and he's like, all right, you guys are all good. And then we were like, hey, man, you want a beer? You want to watch this movie? And he looks at us and goes, no. Just a flat
probably
out.
Covered in shit. Probably had shit all over his hands.
Yeah.
You know?
It was like from a movie, dude. So another cool thing about the convention was we had some kick-ass vendors this year. Not a ton, you know. Motor City Nightmares is a smaller convention. You know, it's no like Flashback Weekend. And a few shout outs to some of the good vendors that were there. Spin City Muskegon, who he had some he's on Instagram. He had some killer tapes, though. I'm not a big VHS collector, just because the prices usually go for insane amounts. However, I did buy Beastmaster 2 Portal of Time.
Yes, you did.
Because that's never been released on DVD or Blu-ray here in the States. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like buying one from Germany. So I found it for like $15 on VHS. That was the one I used to rent all the fucking time as a kid. It's the stupidest Beastmaster on the planet, but I love it.
And how many Beastmasters is there?
I think there's three. I've never seen the third one, though. The third one, I think, was a made-for-TV movie. First one's awesome. Second one is fun. It's stupid, but it's fun. And then I also bought Terminator on VHS. It has a kind of a cool, hologram. I don't fucking know. Something fucking cool on the cover where it changes the colors. So
Arnold's
I bought that
dick.
From him. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lenticular of his dick growing.
And it makes a sound. Dun, 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 dun. And it just gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Time Warp Collectibles, who you got into a little bit of an altercation.
I wouldn't say an altercation, all right? I would say it was a misunderstanding. All right, this is what you got to realize. Not everyone's sociable like me and you, all mm-hmm. right? Not everyone can catch a joke, tell a joke. So I made a joke.
Yeah. You made a joke? No way.
I know. It's
you
wild,
would never
right?
do that.
And it's right when the gummy started to kick in, too. Like, it's the gates have opened. Everyone's allowed in the convention now. And the gummy hits me. I'm starting to get a little wavy, a little wonky. And I made a joke. I said, oh, yeah, you know, that movie you should just give away for free. And he's like, oh, yeah, man, I set all this stuff up just to give away stuff for free. And I'm looking at him like, all right, Jesus fucking Christ, buddy. But the next day we were talking, you know, me and Rich were at his table and stuff. But, yeah, it was a little misunderstanding.
He had some great shit. I mean, I got a lot of good stuff from him.
He had a fucking Maniac original one sheet.
He did. He had a zombie.
And one. A zombie.
And the Video Dead one was fucking awesome,
too. That one was fucking ill, too, yeah.
I mean,
dude.
I can't drop $900 like he was offering for it, but it was badass. So I bought from that guy before on Instagram. I bought my Living Dead at Manchester Morgue, the German poster. I've been after that one for a while. I saw someone post it, and I was like, dude, I gotta fucking get that. So I fucking snagged it, dude. He said $80, which is great. That's about the price range I was looking for. Got it for $80, and then when I saw him at the convention, he had a Contamination German one sheet, which I love the German one sheets, the A1s. So, dude, I snagged that. I snagged a full set of lobby cards from Erotic Nights of the Living Dead, the Joe D'Amato movie.
Yes.
And that was a good, you know, he priced everything pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, nothing was outrageous in price. If it was super outrageous, I just didn't take it. But it was mostly, I think I spent like $150 with him, which isn't that bad, you know?
Not bad at all.
For everything that I got.
You could have spent $150 on a bunch of random shitty stuff throughout the weekend, you know what I mean? And just had a bunch of dumb stuff, and you got a bunch of good stuff, you know? So
yeah, and I got the absurd lobby card, and it's got fucking George Eastman blinded, walking through the fucking house. He sold me that for like $8, and then I got the Phenomena lobby card, too.
Dude, you know what the fucking the coolest thing at that table was? That the one thing that Rich got, the Creepshow.
Yeah, dude, that Creepshow thing was fucking awesome.
That was amazing. I forgot the story behind it, but basically it was something you would mail in and the guy would sign it, the artist.
Yeah, so the artist, I don't know the name of the artist, but basically it's the Creepshow holding the scroll and he's pointing down to it, right? Everyone's seen that fucking artwork before. And the scroll is blank. Because it was in the magazine, and what you could do is you could tear it out of the magazine and you could send it to the artist, and the artist would autograph it in the scroll. So he was like holding the scroll of the autograph and then would mail it back to you in the 80s, right? Well, the story behind it was that there weren't many unsigned ones, blank ones like that, right? There weren't that many blank ones out there still. And he said that Gary, what's his fucking
name? Oh, it's good. I thought you were going to say Gary Busey.
Gary Busey apparently found, I don't fucking, we're just making up a story now. Gary Busey found it. He pulled it out of a mat, or he came to, and he saw Time War collectibles at the convention. He said, I gotta have this, this autograph here, and I gotta get it signed. And he got it, and he fucking bought it. Gary Busey now owns this Creepshow fucking autograph thing. But I don't know.
Hey, you know, I bumped my head on a motorcycle accident back in 1993.
And then maybe I'll go touch some girls at a convention, you know?
Jesus Christ.
Woo! Sorry. I'm turning into you, man.
Yeah, dude, what's going on?
I know. But I think the artist is Ghoulish Gary, is the guy's name. He did some stuff for Mondo, but he saw it at Time War Collectibles and was like, I gotta fucking have it. Bought it from the guy, and that was kind of the selling point. And Rich ended up getting it, Night of the Living Dad. And that was fucking awesome. Another big shout out to Ken from Cinema Wasteland. I've talked to Ken quite a few times in the past when I went to Cinema Wasteland. One of the most just humble, down-to-earth dudes on the planet. He's always out at the convention, like at Cinema Wasteland. He's out in the lobby just talking with people in groups. He'll walk around, just talk to different groups. And he has so many fucking posters. It's insane.
Unbelievable.
I bought Death Dream, which is, it's the Dead of Night poster.
You already have it hanging up, right? Is that it?
Yeah, I got it hanging up. Got it hung up behind me yesterday.
It's fucking awesome.
Dead of Night, Death Dream, which is one of my favorite movies. I think that was our first episode we did.
That
together.
Was our first episode
it
ever.
Was our first
yeah.
episode, yeah. So yeah, it was like our penises, you know, were boom, boom, boom.
Well, when we saw that together,
yeah,
we docked together
we did,
in front of everybody.
Ken was like, "What the fuck are you guys doing?" We said, "Dude, just stay to the side, watch." And it was like E.T. when he's like, E.T., I'll be right here, Elliot.
It's like Ashley Schaefer, let him watch.
Yeah, we just let Ken watch, or, you know, just they boing together for a second. And then I got Don't Go in the House from him, too. And
behind as well.
Yeah, I got that. I hung that up, too.
I see that, yeah.
I love that fucking poster, dude. And then,
great.
Will, I need to hear what you got from Ken.
Yeah. All right, so... I'll go with the PG one. Well, as PG as you get for that type of movie. I got an original one sheet for August Underground, which is really cool because Fred just posted that one sheet, I think, 2-3 days ago.
Yeah.
And was talking about how limited they were when they ran them. And there's not too many around anymore. So
right. That
was awesome. And it was fucking so priced so fair. It was unbelievable. I thought it was going to be a lot of money, and it turned out to be very fairly priced. And then this took me about a day and a half to debate about buying because of the subject matter and if I'm going to frame it or not, which I am.
Well, I think the picture of it too is like that's the questionable part of what's on it.
Yeah, that's the biggest part. And for those who don't know, there was a little exploitation film that came out in the 70s called Elsa, She-Wolf of the SS.
Great fucking movie though. Great
amazing exploitation film, right?
If you don't like Elsa, you're a pussy. Fuck off.
Basically, absolutely. And the best thing about Elsa, real quick, a little tidbit, maybe we'll even do this on a future episode, but Elsa was shot on the set of Hogan Heroes at nighttime when everyone
awesome.
Was off. Right? They already had to. That's budgeting right there, baby. That's pure independent horror. Like, all right, listen, we're going to use the set that's already created in that camp.
There you go.
So this poster, the history behind it, what Ken told us was, they printed a limited number for Canada, Canadian release for Elsa back in 1974, I think it was, 1974. Yeah. And the poster has the worst fascist dictator of all history on it. Mm-hmm. And it has Elsa with him. So it's Adolf Hitler and Elsa next to each other. And it says, who is this woman with Hitler?
Yep.
And on the bottom, it says, coming soon, Elsa, she will for the SS. And it's just a rad fucking poster. Dude.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a piece of history.
It is, you know? Yeah.
So I had to get it.
I think it's great. I'm glad you got it. And
yeah.
And you know what's funny is you pick when we were looking through it. Remember there was that other guy that was like, oh my god, he like pulled it out and he was like, I might have to grab this. And that's when I looked at you and I was like, you need to get this before this guy. You just need to do a power. You need to do a power dick move on this guy.
Credit card move. That's what it was. A credit card move. Because I'll tell you what, it was still decently priced for the history behind it, but it was a fucking hefty hefty credit card debt there.
I think what was more interesting, though, is that you had to bring that poster with you back on your plane ride. And I kept thinking of these horror stories in my head of like TSA being like, what's that poster? Oh. And then you getting busted and like outed as like being some neo-Nazi terrorist.
Bruce, let me tell you, it's early in the morning. I'm flying out. I have the August Underground poster in my hand, right? And the Elsa one I got into my book bag because it was in a sheet, right? Like a folder. Right.
Yep.
So I got in my book bag. So I put my book bag on the belt and they said, oh, we're going to have to hand check the poster in your hand. I said, what do you mean hand check? They said, oh, we have to unroll it. And I'm like, you do that with every poster? And they're like, yeah. And I said, oh. And I start sweating fucking bullets, dude. Because I'm like, yo, if they see that there's a poster in my book bag, they're going to want to hand check that too.
Yeah.
How am I going to explain this to the TSA agents when they open up this fucking Elsa poster?
They're like, Adolf Hitler, he's a terrorist.
Yeah, it's not what it seems. It's a exploitation film. I'm gonna get like dragged to the ground.
You just start Zeke hiling.
Might as well go all out if I'm gonna fucking get caught with it, right? So
it's like an Always Sunny episode, dude.
Oh, dude. But the best part was when I got it home and I showed my wife, right?
She just looks at me. She's like, right away.
Oh, dude. Well, that was the foreplay. But so she looks at it and she's like, "We're never hanging that up." And I'm like, all right. I said, it's just a cool piece of history. I mean, I didn't think you were going to let me hang it up, right? Because it's hard to explain to people, right?
For sure.
And yeah. After she heard the price that I bought it for, she said, you better hang that the fuck up.
You better hang that up in the living room. That should be the first thing people see when they come in.
Right in the foyer, dude, hanging.
Dude, so my wife, Megan, is the same. She has some non-negotiable posters that I can't hang up because they scare the kids, right? Ilsa is a different story because, you know, you should hang it up outside. Your neighbors would love it, I think. But Burial Ground, I am not allowed to hang up. And it's funny because I have the Burial Ground one behind me of the original Burial Ground, like when they released it on Vestron, right?
Yeah.
And I have that one, which I like that cover. We talked about that one before. Mm-hmm. It's okay. I've grown more accustomed to it, but I love the one with the zombie. You know, he's like, you know, reaching out.
Yeah.
My wife basically said, I have the French poster that, and she said, you're not allowed to hang that up because the kids are scared of that one. They're not scared of that one, but they're scared of the one with the zombie.
When you told me that story, I thought you were talking about the Vestron one.
No,
that would be the scary one.
They're not scared of that one. They don't care about that one. But they're also scared of Lucio Fulci's zombie. I have like a knockoff 11x17 of the cover of it. And they freaked out about that. I had that above my movies. And they, every time they saw it, they would stare at it. And they'd be like, ugh, you know. Because, you know, I understand. As a little kid, it's a decomposing corpse. Fulci's zombies and Italian zombies in general were a little more grotesque than like Romero's blue zombies, you know. But yeah, man, I understand the non-negotiable posters though. I get it. Yeah. I have so many posters.
Yeah.
Wow, goddamn. I have so many posters. Like my Cannibal Holocaust German poster is like a chick with her tits out, you know what I mean? And they have like spears, you know. So I probably am not gonna hang that up, but it's okay. It's nice to look at every now and then.
Just bring it out on the floor and rub one out to it, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
You know what I mean? But yeah, another thing I got from Cinema Wasteland, I got the vomit bag, which I've been after that for a while for Mark of the Devil, which love Mark of the Devil. That's like that to me is like up there with Ilsa as like one of the best like exploitation movies. It's just balls to the wall. Again, one of those movies that if you call yourself a horror fan and you like, you know, you like horror and this and that, but you don't like Mark of the Devil or Ilsa, you're a pussy, dude. Fuck off.
Straight pussy, dude. Go to a school full of pussies and drive off a cliff.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Mark of the Devil and those movies they're fucking great. They're exploitation movies. They're masterpieces. Just put on these like Ringo Starr, Ozzy Osbourne sunglasses here, dude.
I'm feeling like classy because I have that Elsa poster we're talking about.
I mean, that's a classy fucking poster. But I got the vomit bag, so I'm happy about the vomit bag.
Dude.
I've came in it about five times already, so.
Well, I think I saw you on Saturday night rubbing one out.
I did.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I huffed it after.
You told me to turn to the side. Just turn to the side, Will, and don't look. And just jerked one out right onto it.
I don't need glue to huff. I just do my own.
Just cum. Dried cum.
But another thing about the convention. So here's where I don't want to get negative, but what the fuck was up with the goddamn prices of these guests? Who the fuck do they think they are? Dude,
insanity. Insanity. And like some of them are like really not well known at all. Like I can see like,
yeah,
it's price gouging. Clint Howard, though. Clint Howard's like a legend when it comes to like B movie, you know, $60 for the duo. It is what it is. You really want to meet them. It is right. What it is. But like some of those, like the Friday the 13th, like crew members and shit, like $60, $80. Get the fuck out of here.
Well, and I was laughing too with like Sean S. Cunningham. He's the only person that I wanted to meet, really, because I have that Friday the 13th vinyl record, right? And I have a lot of the autographs already on there. And he's kind of like the creme de la creme at this point with it, right? He's the one who started it all. By the way, he's the shortest fucking person. I'm 5'8", right? I'm pretty short. He's shorter than me, though. I got really offended, though, because remember, he was standing. So for the picture, the guests, the people that were before me getting his autograph, right? They would go up for a picture and he would stand on a stool next to them for the picture, right? And then when I get up there, that motherfucker has the audacity to just stand on the ground.
No stool needed.
Yeah, no stool needed. Bitch, what are you trying to say,
Sean? You should have pulled a power move because he power moved you. So you should have just punched him in the side of his head.
I should have fucking stood on the stool.
With your moo-moo on, your pallbearer press moo-moo.
I should have just stood on the stool and put my bare ass in his face and been like, dude, fuck you. But one thing that pissed me off with him is he was really nice. We tried talking with him a little bit about Last House on the Left, remember?
Do not bring it up to that guy.
Yeah, don't bring up Last House on the Left to him. He wasn't really too happy about that. He did not want to talk about that movie, really, which I was kind of surprised about. I was like, dude, that's like a classic, you know?
Best movie he's ever done, but...
Yeah, what pissed me off with him, though, is he was charging $50, I think, for the autograph, right? Was it 50?
I think it was 30 and then 30 for a picture, which made it 60 for the duo, I think. Wasn't it?
Most conventions, you just go up to the guest and you get an autograph and they just take a picture with you. That's mm-hmm. the way it's always been. Like, I don't know when it changed, but for some fucking reason, this guy wants to be high class. And he's like, for a picture, you also have to pay an additional amount of money, which I did. I did it because he was the only guest that I wanted to really see. I wanted to see Clint Howard, but I'm not going to pay fucking $60 for Ron Howard's brother's autograph and picture with that little mutant. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing that.
You know? Fucking Grizzly Ben. Wasn't he in Grizzly Ben or some shit?
He looked homeless. Like, I'm not, dude. Like, you could at least wear a goddamn suit, dude.
He was in like a cast. Like, no offense to people that break their feet and shit, but he was like hobbling around the fucking hallway.
Dude, you know, you're going to come to a convention and break your fucking foot, dude. You need to lower your price to $20 at that point.
Yeah, you're a gimp at that point.
Yeah,
you know
dude.
What I mean?
God, you should be paying me for a picture. But there were some, the guests have just gotten so overpriced. Like, and I just feel like conventions in general have gotten so, it's strayed so far from like what it, again, we're going to sound old saying it, but kind of just where it was, you know, in the past. It's, they've gotten really like, even the vendors, you only had really like a few solid vendors. Do you notice the whole weekend we kept rotating back to those?
Yeah, dude. That room got so bored. Like, I felt like I was in an acid trip at one point because I was so high.
I know.
I was in a circle the whole time, just going around looking at the same people over and over again.
So there was a vendor there. He had gumball machines, which was really, you know, kind of creative. I thought it was kind of cool.
You could tell
he spent a lot of time doing it, right? But he would make like gumball machines and would build these like almost like mannequins and props around the gumball machines as an ode to like specific movies, right? So he had a Sleepaway Camp one, and it had the machine, you know, the part where it holds the gumballs, and then underneath it had these shorts, right? I think it was shorts.
Yeah, it was like the camp wear, the short shorts,
Sleepaway
yeah.
Camp, right?
And like the legs and everything, yeah.
And I looked at it and I remember being like, oh, that's really fucking cool, right? And then this guy aggressively comes out.
Hammer drunk.
Dude, you gotta see this. And he like fucking pulled down the drawers. And this fucking, he designed this prosthetic latex dick this little Wang with fur, with fur around the dick. And I was like, holy shit, like, damn, like, you know, from the end of Sleepaway Camp with the big reveal, right? As if that wasn't enough right there, because I was kind of taken back. I was like, holy shit, like, what the fuck? He then takes his fucking index finger and starts flicking the dick around in front of me. And he's like, ah, ha, 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 ha. And I was like, Jesus Christ, dude, like, no cell bro, you, here. Like, you know,
you,
like,
looked, you looked so fucking like not uncomfortable, but you wanted to get out of that so quick. And I already started walking away and you're like looking at me. Like,
where are you going?
Like Braveheart when the guys run away from the fight and they're all staring.
This guy's going to make me start sucking it.
The best part of the weekend never happened, and it includes that guy with the gumball machine, because our buddy, Night of the Living Dead, we came up with a little, you know, Rich said he wanted to go up to him, and hopefully the guy's hammer drunk and is aggressively approaching Rich and showing the dick off and rubbing it and stuff. And Rich was going to tell him, what did he say? He says, hey, buddy, did you ever put your mouth on that before?
And we did it. We went up to the booth, right? Because that's who we are. You know what I mean? Like, we went up to the booth and we waited. And the guy almost like knew something was up. He didn't come out of the booth, but we were waiting for it, because Rich would have totally fucking done that. Rich would have been like, "Hey, suck that thing."
And Rich looked like a fucking pervert too. Like, he just kept going up to like the thing, like kind of like hitting the nuts and like, "Oh, what's that?"
He
there?
Kept like flicking it around. Like, is there something under there? Is there something like trying to attract the guy out? But yeah, it was just really weird. Like that was, it's cool. But like at the same time, when I go to a convention, I'm looking for rare shit like Cinema Wasteland had. I'm looking for posters like Time Warp collectibles, a lot, you know, shit that I just like, nostalgic kind of original shit that I want to see.
Out of print DVDs, Blu-rays, that's another big one. That wasn't really there, right. You know?
Right. You and know? That's what I want to see, is kind of more like that stuff. We did see a lot of cool art, you know, and there definitely was, but again, not really my cup of tea. And then, you know, just some of the guests, like we said, were just really overpriced. There was that weird mustache guy, which we can't figure out
if anybody listens to this episode and they know this mustache man, this mysterious mustache man that's with Felisa Rhodes,
he was creeping her out, I think, too.
Yeah, let us know who this guy is, because he's been a mystery since.
Yeah, he. I think he's an agent for one of them.
It looks like a guy that's going through a midlife crisis that would buy like a Harley.
Yeah.
And wear like, you know, wear all leather with his like twirly mustache, you know, and then go to an adult theater and suck off a guy at a glory hole.
But he's not a burly guy. He's like kind of like a twink kind of guy.
Absolutely. Know? He's power bombing at the glory hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know who was a real, and no offense to him, because I think he was born like this, but it really freaked me. That was a great segue into what I'm about to say. No offense, you were born like this. But it was the first night at the party, the after party. And I got obliterated in the parking lot with Mernsey. We smoked this Gilly Kush, some weird joint. Hold on. You remember what I'm about to say.
Yeah, go on.
So I come back in, and there's some band playing, and everyone's just watching the band. And the guy, there's this humongous dude, tall as shit, and scary as fuck looking, right? Not you know, no offense to him, but he's like one of those dudes that like makes money off his looks. Like that guy Javier that's in that new fucking Dracula movie.
Or like
Dracula.
Michael Berryman, yeah. You
know. Yes, exactly. So yeah. Like, I keep staring at this dude. He's like 7.5 feet tall and his face is humongous. And I'm like, is this fucker a mannequin? I'm so high. I'm thinking he's not real. So I'm staring at him, staring at you. I'm looking back and forth. You're like, what the fuck is Will doing? And then he moves and I freaked out, because I was like, I thought this dude was a fucking mannequin. Then he just has a beer. He starts drinking a beer. And I'm like, what the fuck? I had to get behind him. I was so freaked out.
Yeah, dude, his teeth were massive.
He's gonna chomp my head off. That's what I thought.
So he was in the movie Smile, though.
He was the demon, I believe, in Smile. Like, yeah. They did the makeup for him and shit, because he's a tall, lanky dude.
He's tall, yeah, lanky dude. But his face is like, it's just
made for
that big ass smile. His teeth are like the size of my fucking middle finger, dude.
He was made for that fucking movie, bro.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I never seen it, but I'm sure it's exactly you needed for
and
it.
When you see him in person, you're like, Jesus Christ, like, you feel like you fucking took a tab of acid or something, you know?
Oh man, I was bugging out, bro.
It's like Soundgarden Black Hole Sun music video.
I think I asked you like a million times too, because I was caught in a time warp. I was just like, hey Jeff, you see that guy over there? I said it like 18 times
real?
In the corner. Is he real?
Is he real?
I'm really freaking out about this guy.
Oh my God. Yeah, but Motor City Nightmares, it was a fun time. Mostly because we got to meet up with a bunch of people. If it was just me there, I probably would have been bored to tears after one night. But definitely we got to hit up Cinema Wasteland. So if you're listening to this right now, you're near Cleveland, or you want to fly out to Cleveland, we got to plan it out, because Cinema Wasteland is where it's at, man. You get Fred Vogel, you get all the fucking, you get Massacre Video, you get all the fucking, like, yeah.
Well, their Massacre is going to have their slip covers there for their VHS. I can't wait to buy them all.
Yeah, dude, it's true, man. But you get all the good people at Cinema Wasteland, and a lot of good vendors there too. So, but speaking of, let's talk about some recent pickups that we have. I know you talked about some.
Speaking of Toe Tag, August Underground on Earth Blu-ray, man, it's a big deal, because without this Blu-ray, you're spending a mortgage on finding August Underground on eBay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're waiting a year for the fucking trilogy to come out.
So I think the box set's coming out in 2025. Penance is coming out in December, and then Mortem's in October. So I recently just picked up that from Diabolic. I got that. So that's actually out in transit right now. So it should be there when I get home after
August Underground.
August Underground, yep. Yeah. And I heard the extras on it. There's like hours of extras. They did all new ones. They put all the old ones in and new ones, which is awesome. That's why we collect film. Along with that, and I know you picked this up too, and we kind of touched on it earlier, is Blade in the Dark. I just copped that as well.
Great fucking movie, man. I love Blade in the Dark.
It's a fun one. I know some people are getting their panties in a bunch because of the ending. It is what it is. You know, it still makes a great film.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is, man. It's an 80s movie. It's not made for fucking 2023. Just different times back then. You know, Unearth has been doing some good work, man. Calamity of Snakes, and just
awesome.
A lot of their stuff that they've been doing. And that's what I love seeing with these companies, is that a lot of companies are going the 4K route. You know, fucking Shout Factory, Scream Factory, every fucking release is like, here's a 4K of a movie we released to, you know, 5 years ago now. It's like, fuck off. So it's nice to see newer movies, you know, and even Vinegar Syndrome with A Blade in the Dark. I don't collect all Vinegar Syndrome movies, but I was really happy to see A Blade in the Dark. 88 Films just did a 4K of Burial Ground, which I was just complaining about 4Ks. But what's cool about the Burial Ground 4K is it has a fucking Peter Bark interview on it.
No way, really?
It does. They tracked him down and they fucking interviewed him on it. So that right there is worth the price of it alone. So,
and the artwork's pretty badass on it, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I'm cool with new releases when they have new things on them like that. You know what I mean? That make it worthwhile. Cauldron Films has been fucking killing it with releases, and I cannot wait to get their shit in. You know, they did Phantom of Death, Deodato, Off Balance is what they released it as, Ratman, which never had a fucking DVD Blu-ray release at all here.
Critter from the Shitter.
Yeah, dude. Dude. Which I, you know, fucking, it's an insane movie. So it's awesome to see them get, you know, Frankenstein 80 is another one they just did. I picked that one up as well. So they've just been doing some great shit. Error 444444444444, whatever. Sam, Manicore. You know, they're doing great shit too. So it's awesome to see these labels doing some good stuff. And like I said, you know, we've been, you know, we were talking earlier, you know, we're being selective in what we're buying, but this is the shit that I'm buying, is the stuff like this. You know what I mean? Stuff that I know that I like, and stuff that has new supplements to it, you know?
And generating excitement. We talked about it earlier, but like same with Error 444444444444. Error does a great way of, they don't oversaturate the market with their releases. You wait a little bit, you know what I mean? Yep. They get all their shit together, and their releases come fucking stacked, bro. Like,
dude,
stacked.
Insane. Dude, their last release had like stickers, it had fucking posters, it had like three slip covers, dude. That's the way to fucking do it. If I'm gonna buy a bundle, that's what I fucking want. And they know that.
Absolutely, dude. And they did a great job with their last release too. They sold out pretty quick.
They did, yeah. And I picked that up too. It's Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see where they go. And Sam's a good guy. Like, it's not like I'm just buying it because I like Sam. I don't know a ton of Hong Kong Cat 3 movies, so I've been kind of getting into it from them. And yeah, he's kind of been introducing me to that stuff. So I'm liking what he's releasing, though. It's a lot of fun. Another one I want to mention, though, is Terror Vision Records and the label. They're doing shit, too, Dad.
Bro,
I just called you Dad.
Did you?
I don't know. Did I?
It's okay.
It's the mustache. No.
It is. Dude, Terror Vision's releasing one of my favorite early 2000 direct-to-video movies of all time. Slashers.
I think I know what it is. Can I say it?
What?
Rumpelstiltskin? No.
Now, are they doing that, though?
Yeah.
They're doing Rumpelstiltskin.
Yeah, they are.
Know that. That's from 95. I'm talking about 95. Slashers. Okay. Yeah, Slashers is from Canada. It's like, think of the Hunger Games, but it's like a Japanese reality show, and there's like three slashers, and like people have to survive. Oh, dude, it's shitty. Don't get me wrong. It's filmed at a paintball course, but it's so much fun, dude.
I mean, I'll watch it. They're doing fucking Rocktober Blood. Awesome. They're doing the soundtrack for Monster Squad, I think, as well. They're doing The Devil's Sword, which was an out-of-print Mondo Macabro DVD. So they're doing that. Yeah, and they just did a movie called Srigala, which I posted about. It's an Indonesian. A lot of people say it's a Friday the 13th ripoff. It's really only like the last like 20 minutes. It's the Friday the 13th ripoff. But that was a lot of fun. It's really stupid. It's by the guy that did Satan's Slave, which Severin released, which I like that movie. That movie's pretty good, actually. It's pretty creepy. But yeah, I mean, like there's a lot of good releases still coming out.
Not to cut you off, but are they still with Vinegar Syndrome's partner label, or are they out?
No, they left.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Terror Vision kind of did their own thing, you know, and I'm happy to see it because they're able to kind of branch out and do what they need to do now. But yeah, they're doing some good shit, man. They posted a video, and they're doing, let me just go through. So they're doing Nailgun Massacre. They're doing a 4K of that. They're doing Rumpelstiltskin. Oh no, Rumpelstiltskin cassette LP. So they're doing the soundtrack. So someone's probably doing Rumpelstiltskin down the line. Gator Bait 1 and 2, which is pretty cool because that's never had a release here either. Black Cobra and Black Cobra 2. So they're doing a lot of like good shit for October. Which I'm pumped to see that. So but yeah, new releases have been pretty sweet.
I picked up the Elsa box set last week from eBay, right? I got it for $50. Box set's fully intact.
That's great. DVDs. That's a great price.
Fuck yeah, bro. I couldn't believe it.
Usually the first She-Wolf of the SS goes for like $50.
Exactly, dude. And you know the curse. When you buy something from DVDs, it eventually gets it. So
like someone knows and they're selling it. Mm-hmm. Like I
thank
done.
Me, thank me. If it comes out on Blu-ray, because I was the martyr, basically getting the old DVD box set.
But you know what's cool is you have the Anchor Bay editions now.
You know?
And that's
I'm super
cool
excited about
is,
that.
And those are still collectible. Like my Sleepaway Camp edition that I have in the box from Anchor Bay, that still fetches a pretty good price. You know,
you
even
got the
though,
Red Cross one, right?
I don't have the original one, the one that got banned.
That's a different one. Okay.
I have the one that came out after, but that one still goes for a good price. Yeah, a lot of the Anchor Bays, they go for a good price still. So, you know, that's the nice thing about it is you bought those, but there are collectors out there that would probably want that. You could probably sell them. just buy the new if you wanted to.
I never seen the other two, so I'm actually kind of excited to see the other two. I never seen those before. The Wicked Warden and the Oil Sheik or some shit like that.
Yeah, that's a Jess Franco one. And then there's a fourth. I think there's a fourth one, too. I never saw that.
I think Jess Franco did the fourth one, but it just never got kind of...
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't know what happened. I'm not really a big Franco guy anyway, but...
Right.
I gotta put my glasses on for this. All right. But yeah, man, the been some great releases, great memories this summer. Some great shit, you know, having fun, getting high. You got hammered drunk. Saturday night, baby. You're the clove man.
The clove man.
You were the clove man.
Yeah, dude, I think I smoked like 10 clove cigarettes in a row.
I was letting it happen. I'm like, this motherfucker is just going at it. You're taking a piss on the side of the building. Just fucking go.
I just like
another one.
I just start speaking Hindu.
But we got a lot of great shit coming your way. Phantom Analogs, the podcast, tons of great episodes. Some
join
cool
the Discord. Wild beasts. Wild
join
beasts,
the
baby.
Discord, what, next week or the week after?
I don't really know.
Matter,
before I will let you know on Instagram before end of August, though. We'll do Wild Beasts.
Awesome. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. All kinds of fun on that shit. Come get fucked up. And that's all I got, brother.